from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, I mean, belief is important, right? Belief and confidence are a big part of performing, especially at this level, but not just this level, at many levels, youth levels included. So, you know, it's a clean slate for Kyrie, and we're looking forward to, in year three, what he's able to do. And again, I think our environment usually helps players with that, right? In that belief and confidence, and we have to continue to instill that as coaches in him, and then he'll do the rest.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott yesterday. Kyir Elam. Are you going to stay in Elam this year again?
Nothing to me has changed from where I've been on him, which is
His numbers are good. He makes big plays in big spots.
I just think it's a different type of, you know, it's a different path to getting results with him. Whereas there fleet of corners for years has been steady, no big mistakes, no big plays let up, and Elam does allow big plays, but then makes up for them with big plays. So you've got more high and low, but if I'm kind of getting to similar results at the end of it, why do I really care? Coaches care, right? Because that would drive a coach crazy. I get it. That how do you, you know, why are you tackling Deontay Johnson and giving them first and goal in a playoff game?
Well, you remember.
But then the next play, he's right with Deontay Johnson and forces an interception with a great man coverage play.
Maybe he was just being really smart and thinking, if I get this at the one, I have less ground to cover and I can make a play.
You know, right.
That's chess.
So, like, in a way, yes. I'm not saying he should start, though. I'm very good. I'm very comfortable with where they are at cornerback. I mean, for him to be the number three, I don't think they should have any problem with that.
Jeremy and Joe with you from Fisher. Join us, 803-0550. We'll get a call in on anything, really. You can give us a call and chat about this
what
Bills team.
Olympic sport would you be best at?
And worst at. On Elam, I heard yesterday, might have been Sal with the afternoon guys talking about him, and could he flash and then they trade him? And Sal, I actually agree with Sal here. I don't think they're in a position to trade him because their depth at that position at boundary corner, it's probably not great, right? Like, Dane Jackson's gone, and he was very good. Like, think about Dane Jackson as a guy. Sure, he's a late-round draft pick. He played.
He started almost 30 games.
He was pressed into duty quite a bit, and was he ever designed to be a starter? So you want to be a little deep there. You want to have some answers there. So for Elam, okay. Here's the thing about Elam that's going to be tough for him. Even if he is good, he's not passing Rasul Douglas, and the idea that he would pass Christian Benford seems I mean, wouldn't Benford have to fall off a cliff? Benford's good. If you were to flop, if you were to swap Benford and Elam and where they were in the draft, you would think it all makes sense.
Right.
Benford's played like a first-round pick, and Elam has not played, really. And he's made a couple of – we'd say he's a gamer. Oh, sixth-rounder, he's a gamer. But so if Elam turns over a new leaf, becomes a new nice depth piece, I'm with Sal. I think the idea of him taking the Dane Jackson role makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. I think that's a fine result. Yeah, like you said, like if you didn't know where they were picked, if I just told you, hey, the Bills are going to draft corners in the first and the sixth round, and in 3 years, you're going to have a very good starter and a fine depth piece. Isn't that a complete and utter victory for that position? First and sixth round pick, I got a very good starter and a fine depth piece. Yeah. To me, that would be perfectly acceptable. But I don't disagree with Sal. They're like, other than Elam, and that's if they feel like they can trust him, they're kind of bare bones after that. Like, defensively, I don't know. I kind of don't treat their defense as being at risk this year of any, you know, like middle of last year, middle portion of last year where they really looked like they were struggling. Like, they were, man, were they efforting to not give up 30 points. You know, like they kept the Bengals at 24 with some fourth down stops, but the Bengals were going on long drives. They just weren't finishing. And the Bills were getting just eaten alive in some of those games in the middle. But it was so much due to injury that you almost don't even feel like it's worth how much it's worth, because they had third string linebackers, they had backup corners in, they had backup everything in. This year, like all the talk of all the turnover, and even the corner depth, and Von Miller. Did you notice Von Miller, by the way, yesterday? Because I did not. I didn't think to look, even.
I did not make a point to watch him. However, let me follow up with that, because I did see there was a moment that Von might have flashed.
Okay.
So finish
your
point.
Yeah, just to wrap my point.
I'm going to make sure I got who said this. I got it right.
Okay, but just to wrap my point, like even with the questions about Von and their probable, you know, limited group at the edge, right? Epinesa's a starter right now. Rousseau is, I think, very good, but I don't love their edge position. So even with that being said, it's McDermott and it's their linebackers, I think, is another piece of it. And I'm not that worried about who they have at safety. I love their starting corners. Like, I think this team is still going to be one of the better defenses in football. And I'm not letting corner depth or Von status or the changeover get in the way of that. I think they're going to still be a top defense, and I don't really feel all that worried. I know I have this bet with you that they'll one day finish bottom 10, but I wouldn't predict that that's going to be this season. I think they're fine for this season defensively.
Okay, so who was it? Yesterday at practice, Cover One's Anthony Prochaska. He's on Twitter at ProAnt. He pointed out Von clearly beat Spencer Brown around the edge on a play.
Okay.
So he's not – it's also pointed out he's not wearing a knee brace. He's got a sleeve, no brace.
Yep.
Yeah, did Von pop? Is 11-on-11 a better spot for that? Red zone is tough. You know, one thing – I'll say this about yesterday's practice. So when it comes to how the offense looked, one thing I have trouble with sometimes is – were they on schedule indeed? Because you heard a lot of people say the offense was very good, a lot of touchdowns, and you can have the offense be on schedule dominant, where the ball's moving and out of Allen's hands quickly. And then you have lots of plays where Allen's rolling out and creating. And maybe it's a flaw in my own approach here, Joe, because when I see Allen rolling and making a play, those are great. Those touchdowns count. I'm just less likely to give credit to the offense for cooking in that moment as I am for Allen doing the cooking, right? Allen being the one that is making the plays because he's rolling out. It's taking a little more time for plays to develop, whatever it might be. So it's just a small thing. Yesterday, it felt like Allen was on the move a lot, rolling out, finding targets in the end zone, and you know that's how the red zone goes. Hey, we're back. Sorry about that. We had to take it out, go blow on it, put it back in.
Unplug and plug it back in.
We're back.
It rained here last night, so we had a thing trip. So we didn't really power issue, but we're back. Yeah. We're good to go for the rest of the show.
The thing did the thing.
Yeah.
Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher. All right, so coming up on the show, Pete Guelli, Bills COO. It's funny, the number of people that want a question about another helmet.
I saw a lot of that.
I don't think it's crazy, but, you know, I put out there in the world, hey, if you have something you want us to ask, and have got a couple texts and tweets about helmets. Speaking of that, the Jaguars have just, Field Yates tweeted, the Jaguars are debuting an alternate helmet in Week 10. It is a white helmet. The Jags have a white helmet, and it's their best helmet immediately.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's really good.
Their helmet now is the same logo, and it's just plain black, right?
I think so.
They haven't been doing the two-toned helmet in a couple of years.
I don't know.
They had like the gold on the back and then the black on the front. They've tried some weird things.
We'll ask about it. And his experience, I mean, he's been with a number of different organizations. It was recent with the Giants, who just did a 100-year kind of thing. So
the Montreal Canadiens uniforms, as they
yes, they did. That's kind of what they look like. So we'll ask about that. About, you know, any sort of uniform stuff. Because I'll say this, Joe, when it comes to the uniform stuff, I'm jealous of not getting anything like that.
Yeah.
But I can't think of what I would possibly want them to do because the Bills uniforms are perfect.
The Bills uniforms are perfect, but we're not asking to change the home and away uniforms.
We're just asking for, like, Zuba's pants?
Not even. Like, I just want – and I know this is tough, and, like, we've talked about this, trying to figure out, like, how it would go about it.
The red helmet?
I want the red helmet. I want to see the red helmet. I think a lot of people want to see the red helmet. And then it's up to figuring out, okay, how do you do – an alternate uniform that includes the red helmet. Also, when you're a sports franchise, you know, like, what jersey works with that helmet? Because that's what you're selling, right? Like, that's what you're selling in the fan shop. You're not selling – people aren't showing up to the games with a red helmet.
That's right.
They're showing up with the uniform. So if the uniform isn't really all that different, you know, there might be a little bit of a, like, kind of what's the point at that point business-wise. But I think fans want the red helmet. It's just up to figuring out.
Would it be as simple as throwing a red helmet on what they wear right now? Is that just it?
Maybe.
What stop?
Maybe. Is that what the Jaguars are doing, by the way? They're just throwing their white helmet on their normal uniforms?
On one of the looks that they have.
That's what the Bengals did with their
white helmet.
The zebra helmet.
Yeah. The Siberian tiger helmet or whatever.
The Siberian tiger one. So maybe that's the answer. And maybe that would look weird, though, because when we've seen the red helmet, it was either the 90s uniforms with Kelly or it was the Bledsoe, you know, all-world uniforms, arena football-looking things. I don't think anybody wants to see those back.
Yeah.
You want the 90s throwbacks is usually the most popular answer to this. And that uniform is a little different. It's not drastically different, but it's a little different. They always look like the 90s Giants uniforms, is how I think of those 90s Bills uniforms.
Yep.
They almost look exactly the same. That would be the move. I don't know how beneficial that is to, you know, the business end of things, and maybe that's what's holding it up. We'll ask Pete about it later, but red helmet. Like, that is to me undoubtedly the thing. Zubaz, you know, pants, that'd be cool, but I don't know. Do I need to see that? I don't need to go that crazy.
That might look unserious.
You would think of it this way: what would the reaction be from out of town if they introduced Zuba's pants? Wouldn't they get mocked unrelentingly?
I don't know. Maybe
relentlessly.
They might be.
I mean, I think they would be mocked pretty severely if they did that.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Check in with a couple of tweets on what we've picked up on the, you know, what we're looking at from camp. Someone wrote in and asked the question, how did Tyler Bass look? Bobby wrote in, with training camp underway, you know, no Micah Hyde, what percentage do you have of him coming back? So first on Tyler Bass.
I didn't see him kick field goals yesterday.
He had a slump.
Yeah.
He had a bad year. I gotta make a mental note all the time to think about Tyler Bass, because I think it's pretty clear his slump of a year,
yep,
and missed kick against the Chiefs, which I never think about, that is on Bills fans' minds. Like, they think about Bass. They played a lot of close games. And to this point about close games, do you know how many one-score games they played last year? For a while we went through this thing. I'm going to take this Bass point and go for one-score games on it. Because for a while, we had the talking point about the Bills' record in one-score games. There was a stretch there where 0-6 in one-score games.
Yeah.
And the year before, they were really good in one-score games. But one thing to take a look at is how many one-score games they played.
Yeah.
Because last year was a lot.
Last year they played, so the Jets game in week one.
I think it's 12.
Yep. Jacksonville was a one-score game,
the Giants,
which is funny because I didn't feel like one.
Right. The Giants, the Broncos.
The Patriots.
Yep.
The Buccaneers ended up being a one-score game.
Eagles.
They almost lost in a Hail Mary. The Bengals, the Broncos, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Patriots again, and the Dolphins again. So, yeah, I got
so
12.
So, here's the question I've got for you. Like, this is a little bit of a Tyler Bass point because this Bills team – they won 11 games. They won the division. They were still good. However, the number of one-score games they played, 12 is way more.
Yeah.
The year before, I think it was 9. And the year before that, it was 5.
Right.
So they've gone from blowing teams out and closing out games to teams hanging around them a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you know, that could all just be noise. Or that could be, hey, that feeling you've got, this is why Ken Dorsey maybe got fired, right? In the middle of the season, they were not bad, but we thought, this doesn't feel right. Something's off here.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady got them righted, but they still played closer games than we wanted to.
That's right.
The look at the end of the season when they've got Brady as their offensive coordinator. It was still a bit of a battle against some of these bad. They beat the Chargers by 2. They beat the Patriots by 6.
Right.
The Dolphins by 7 with a kick return touchdown. So, all I'm getting at is, you know, like, we think they're good. We know they're good. But they don't look as last year, even in the Joe Brady success turnaround, they've not really been the, you know, strutting Bills for a little while here. And maybe that's what kind of gets to a little of the uncertainty about their receivers or the uncertainty about what they could be in a team in transition. Like, it's been a little while since they looked like a bully of a team. Like, go back to week 3 when they slapped Miami in that big matchup after Miami scored 70, week 4.
That was the last time I felt like they were all right,
unstoppable.
Dominant, unstoppable.
Yeah. And
Let's
after
go.
That, you know, it all dipped, and then they just became a team that won an awful – I mean, they lost a lot of one-score games. They just played a million of them.
They did. The one other game that they – beat and controlled a good team thoroughly. Because if you look at last year, like, there were a couple games that they won big. Like, they won against the Jets big, right? And that was impressive because that was the Jets' defense.
Yep.
But Zach Wilson, like, how impressive can it be when you beat Zach Wilson by that much? I know they've lost to Zach Wilson.
True.
But
twice.
Yeah, the Dallas game.
The Dallas game, they were dominant.
They were dominant, but it was different because Allen didn't throw for even 100 yards in that game.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to feel about that because that's not a – it didn't feel repeatable.
Right.
It didn't feel repeatable that James Cook was going to run for 200 yards. Allen wasn't going to be involved in the game plan at all. Just how do you think you're going to do most times when you line up to play against another great team and you decide, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to run the ball for 200 yards, and Allen's going to be kind of just a passenger in this thing. How well do you think that's going to go most times? It didn't really feel that repeatable. It might have been a sign of things to come a little bit.
A commitment to the run.
But not to that degree.
No,
they were running every play in that game.
Right. They were not able to duplicate that in another game.
Right.
If they could have, they would have.
So I got to go back to Miami week 3, which is the last time I'm watching them just like, wow, look at this team. There were – what's the season where they get hot at the end and then they looked unstoppable? Is that this year they were 7-6?
Yes, and they lost in overtime to Tampa, and then they ran the table. And that's the perfect game. That's 13 seconds.
That is a month stretch where it felt like every time they
Isn't
were playing – I think you have that right. But it felt like every time they were playing, you watched them and went, look at this team. No, nobody is beating them. That's how they looked week after week after week. And last year, I didn't feel like that from week 4 on, week 5 on.
Yeah.
And on Bass, by the way, really quick, because that was the original question here. Let me just ask this question. How many games has he lost for them? Can anyone point? I think I have one game. I was looking through his game log the last 3 years.
Is it the Eagles game?
The Eagles game, I think, is the only game. You cannot do this with the Chief game. I will fight anybody that wants to tell me.
I agree. Last year's playoff game, I don't put on Bass at all.
The game was over the second he stepped on the field. Didn't matter if he made it or not.
I tend to agree.
He went 2-for-4 on field goals in a 3-point loss in overtime to the Eagles. That game, you could realistically look at it and say, you missed 2 field goals, we went to overtime, we lost by 3, we lost that game in part because of you. Find me another one. I think you're going to have a tough time finding another game where you could just point to, they lost that game because of Tyler Bass. So, yes, he had a down year. He went down 5 percentage points in field goal percentage. He went from an 87% kicker to an 82. I don't know, aren't kickers weird like that? Don't they kind of go up and down? Once in a while?
Sure, yeah, you're going to
have... Aren't the best kickers going to have 3 really good years and then 1 down year and then 3 really good years and then 1 down year?
Yeah. Yeah,
They also can't do anything about it anyway because he's under contract.
And you wonder how much they scout their kicker who's been in the league for years in the preseason. You know, like...
Right.
Kicking in the stadium in the wind and the cold is different than kicking here in July.
I think...
It's a tough evaluation.
Yeah, I do think there's no doubt, though... That, by the way, the field goals he missed in that Eagle game, he missed a 48-yard field goal.
Okay.
In the first half, and then you know what's interesting here? Oh, he missed one other. In the first half, he missed a 34-yard field goal that was blocked. That could have been his fault. I don't know if the kick was low. I forgot what I was going
to
say.
Well, to the other part. So Bobby writes in about Tyler Bass and also Micah Hyde.
Yeah.
I apologize, whoever wrote it. I forgot it, who it was, but I like this observation. Micah Hyde is basically an additional practice squad spot right now.
Okay.
Right?
Like he's just on call?
He's not going to play for anybody else.
Right, he said that.
He might play. Last time he talked about it, about the juices getting flowing. He's not here at training camp. Maybe he's on call. Maybe he watches them play 3 games. He's in shape. He's ready. Like he's an extra practice squad spot who will only play for the Bills. I'm not writing Micah Hyde off of this team in some capacity until he formally files retirement paperwork in the NFL. Right? Yep. I mean, that doesn't mean – I don't know if he's going to come back, but I wouldn't close that door at all. The Bills aren't closing the door.
Right. Isn't he because only coming back, though, with a mid-season injury?
Maybe, but think of this from the Bills' standpoint. If the Bills – we're not open to this idea of the belief that he could play or help, they would very politely tell him,
yeah, like, we're good.
We're good.
We're good to move on here.
We're good.
We're good to move on here.
We're good. And
yeah, that's probably right.
And instead, it's, hey, if you want to make the call, we've got a spot.
They have a spot right now?
I think they have to have a spot at any time because if he says yes, isn't he here?
That's what I don't know that he's here. I that's why I wonder if he's more, hey, don't do it yet. You don't have to participate in training camp.
Talk to us after camp.
Yeah, talk to us after camp.
We'll get eyes on
maybe,
our guys.
Maybe talk to us in October even. Maybe talk to us in November. There was
extended practice squad.
Yeah. Same position. Eric Weddle, was it last year or the year before? Maybe it was last year. Eric Weddle, who was retired, I think he had filed the paperwork, came out of retirement like 2 weeks before the playoffs.
And won the Super Bowl,
to play for the Rams. Yep. And, like, just, didn't participate in camp, didn't participate in the season, but, hey, fresh legs for an older safety. So that could be the situation with Hyde, too. That's why I think the Bills are going to want to see, do they even need it? If Cole Bishop's ready to go, and they've got a veteran in Mike Edwards and Taylor Rapp, and maybe even Damar Hamlin, who got first-team reps yesterday and by all accounts had a great minicamp. If they feel like they have 4 safeties they like, I just don't even know why they would. What are they going to have Micah Hyde do? Play special teams? Be inactive on game days?
I think he would play.
But he would play over. Do they like 4 of their safeties? There's a situation where they like their safeties.
If he wouldn't play, wouldn't they close the door? Wouldn't they let him know?
That's why maybe we're not there yet, because they want injury. Maybe they want to see what their 4 safeties look like.
Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher, presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Everybody's had a conversation about momentum. I guarantee no one has ever thought about it in the terms that Jonathan Gannon and the Cardinals coach has apparently thought about it. I'll tell you that story next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Momentum exists. The answer is perhaps. The momentum of the game shifted on that play or that series or that. And I always thought to myself, is that real? Like, maybe you can feel it or it's an instinct. That's looking on historical data from the 1800s of war and going to all walks of life, sport. Does momentum play? You know, why does Xander go bogey, par, bogey, and then birdie? Is that momentum? I don't know. Maybe you just hit some good wedge shots and made some putts. What do you got to do to gain momentum, stop momentum, all those things? I wanted to make sure we're versed on what that actually is and what that means.
Look at it differently now.
You guys are drilling me on momentum now. Momentum comes from doing what you're coached to do consistently, all 11 together. If you talk to anybody in our building, is momentum real? You're going to get a lot of different answers.
Is it real?
Perhaps.
Jonathan Gannon, head coach of the Cardinals.
Wow.
It's a lot on momentum.
That's a lot. That is the best momentum conversation I think I've ever heard.
I like these as perhaps.
He doesn't even know at the end of it. They dug back into the 1800s?
He apparently did a deep dive into wars in the 1800s as part of their research on momentum.
Wars? I thought he was talking
wars.
Like
no.
Yale, Harvard football from the 1800s.
No. Wars.
Wars from the 1800s.
Who had momentum? The War of 1812.
Was how there momentum? How did the momentum War of 1812?
Shift? Yes, Jonathan Gannon.
Was there momentum after the British burned down Washington D.C.?
I want my history books to start talking about momentum.
So I'm not a believer that momentum exists at all. But when he started talking about Shoffley with the birdies, he brings in golf. I'm like, isn't there momentum in golf?
Ask me when I went par,
I mean,
birdie, par, and then followed with a triple.
I had a golf tournament last weekend. Why were my best five holes all in a row?
Well, I think the very
There's
easy.
There's a swing thing different.
The easy cop-out answer that I don't think is a cop-out is it doesn't matter if momentum is real or not. People believe it is, and that makes it real.
No, I know. It's
what I mean by that is that
way, yes.
it's if no. you think it's real, it will affect you.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's maybe less likely to.
It's George Costanza to Jerry saying, Jerry, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Well, it's positional.
Kind of?
It's positional. You're going to have cornerbacks out here that say it's very important to not think about the last play.
Right.
So cornerbacks shouldn't think about momentum.
Maybe Tyler Bess shouldn't think about momentum.
Sure. Quarterbacks, right? Hey, Josh just threw a pick. Get it out of your head.
Yeah.
Don't think about that.
Right.
If you are thinking about that, then that's bad. Okay, so I'm a quarterback or a cornerback. I need to not think about it. I'm a receiver who just dropped a pass.
Yeah.
Don't think about it. Oh, I just got an interception on a play. Don't think about that. Get, you know, like, so
who's the flip end, though? Who should be thinking about it?
Like,
if a running back fumbles, should they be thinking about, like, because they got to be more, yeah, like, I got to focus more on keeping the ball secure or something like that?
I don't know. Sure. Don't think about the last play. Next. Whatever.
Momentum. Speaking of coaches around the league yesterday, did you see Dan Campbell's podium?
It's gigantic.
He has a massive podium. It's like 5 feet tall and 3 feet wide. It is the biggest podium in sports
history. I want to know on that podium how sturdy it is. I want to know if the Lions built a podium that Campbell – was Campbell asking, I want to be able to rock that thing. You know, I want to be able to really
– Uh-huh.
I want to grip that table. I want to pound it, and I want it to echo through the room.
Yes.
And not fall apart.
One way to inspire confidence in your fan base is to start, like, whenever he goes on his next biting kneecap speech in front of the media and starts getting fired up, he just rips the podium out of the ground and throws it to the side.
Updating our viral camp catch counter.
All right, let's go.
Keon Coleman had one yesterday. He had a...
Does that mean he's matched Xavier Worthy?
Well... We'll get to that in a moment. How are we keeping score on viral catches? Xavier Worthy, leader in the clubhouse with the most viral catch because that bomb he caught from Mahomes. First off, they're the only team in camp pretty much at that point.
Yep.
They got the spotlight to themselves. I checked the views on how many views that got versus the Coleman catch, and let's just say that the Worthy got millions more. That's not important.
Okay.
Coleman had a viral catch. He had a good feet inbounds. Acrobatic kind of.
He was kind of leaning back as he took the ball in.
It kind of looks like Josh Allen threw him a missile,
and
it took his upper torso back.
Like, yes, yeah.
It was a nice catch for Coleman. I'll tell you what about Coleman, if we want to get really into him and what he's going to be for this team. If we're only talking red zone and sideline and toe taps and jump balls, then that's a specialist, right? And it's a role player. And if there's a full-on number one receiver or full-on does-it-all receiver, we'll see that in a lot more than just those kind of highlights. Because right now, I feel like you have a vintage Keon Coleman camp highlight every day, and that is a kind of a turning, leaping corner end zone catch.
Yes.
I've seen him do that 5 times at minicamp. He did it here yesterday.
Yep.
No coverage. Like, he's going to go up and he's going to get the ball. Appears to have pretty good footwork, like, but the rest of it, 11 on 11, when he lines up against Rasul Douglas and they go one-on-one, man-on-man, is he going to beat Douglas? Is he going to be a guy that gets open? The knock on him was he doesn't necessarily separate in college. And there are guys that don't separate that succeed. That's okay. It's not always a success story, but we'll see how they use him.
Well, that also goes to, like, what's the expectation? What's the bar for him to clear to be a successful pick? Because he could be a useful player doing what you just described as, hey, can you just make these crazy acrobatic catches, be a red zone threat for us, the toe tap sideline catches, block for us? Can you be a valuable piece?
That's Gabe. Can you be Gabe?
That's Gabe. Is that the bar, though? Because, right, when you're getting into the footwork and the route running and separation ability, like, to me, if he has already all this contested catch stuff and his hands and his jump ability, and now he also figures out somehow even though he didn't in college, but he figures out in the pros how to separate. I mean, now we're talking about a star,
right?
I think. And I don't. I'm not mentally bracing for that. Like, that could happen. I'm not ruling it out. But to me, like, I'm very much thinking more likely is he's going to be a Gabe-level player. Like, a good receiver, but not one of the best in the league. He'll have his role. He'll be useful. And I don't know. Isn't that a usually a fine result for a second-round wide receiver?
I think if, especially this year.
It's just tougher for this team because they don't have the number one.
If he had any of Gabe's seasons this year, it would be fine. And
what about after that?
You'd want more. You'd want Gabe's second or third or fourth season.
Like Gabe's, if he had Gabe's career.
Gabe Davis's first year, he had 599 and 7 touchdowns. Yeah. And that would be fine for Coleman this year. Fine.
I agree. Yes.
By year two, year three, you're hoping Davis got up into 836, and last year he got to 746.
Kind of fun, amazing. He never cleared 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It felt like he would have. So you need more than that.
You want Coleman to become a 1,000-yard guy. Sure. You could be a 1,000-yard guy and not be one of the best receivers in football.
That's fair.
So, yeah, I mean, if he can turn into that, that's great. This kind of gets to, you know, you said they don't have the finger quotes number one. This does get to, I had a weird thought yesterday. What if you could watch a season, a football season, the way that we watch movies sometimes, where you see the last scene first, and then you go back and watch the whole year?
Wow, that's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, what if you could
see
the last 5 minutes of this Bills season?
Yeah.
And then you go back and watch the whole season leading up to that, like a movie, like an episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Because, we don't watch football like that. We don't consume sports like that. But you would see, all right, that's how it ends, huh? How did we get to that spot? And
yeah,
I asked that question in the context of receiver. You mentioned number one receiver. Will we, by that time, be saying, well, Bean, of course, is going to continue to seek help at that spot? Because if Coleman is a number two, that's fine. Curtis Samuel is a number 2/3. That's fine. Shakir as a slot guy is really good. But the hardest thing to find is the guy that will play the outside that can do all the things for you. Those are the guys that are getting the big money.
Yep.
Like, I think about Shakir. He can have another great season of being at the top of the league in efficiency. He's not going to get $27 million.
No,
he just never. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's ever really going to hit that.
He's got like a Keenan Allen breakout in his.
He's got to have an Amon-Ra St. Brown breakout, which it just doesn't.
I don't know. I'm not betting that.
Maybe.
There's very few players of his style that get to that level. I can count on one hand.
Right. He gets to a Beasley level, and Beasley was really good.
Yeah.
But
will that be enough?
That's a great.
If they have three guys that all look, hey, all three of these players are pretty good. Are they going to be satisfied with that?
Yeah.
It'll depend on how their season ends and how their offensive output, you know, comes out of that. If they have three receivers that are pretty good and Kincaid is great on top of that, I could see an outcome where they say, we're fine. We don't need to go trade for Brandon Ayuk. We don't need to draft another first-round wide receiver next year. Like, we don't need to address it at all.
Well, hold on.
Three pretty good receivers and a great tight end, we're good to go.
There's a huge difference between trading Ayuk and then not addressing it at all. You don't have to trade for Ayuk, but people like to point out the Packers model. You just draft one in the fourth, and you hope that as you keep adding them, you find one. Like, Dontavian Wicks from Green Bay, his advanced numbers are out of this world good. Mm-hmm. Maybe he is that good. We'll find out. Anyway. Random thought about movies and
you've
directors.
You've got me thinking about, like, would I want to watch a football game like that? A lot of those movies, by the way,
are good.
They're good. They also, they don't show you how it ends. They show you
right before
the end.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to spoil the ending. I would watch sports like that.
Be interesting. All right, Sal at 8 o'clock on his thoughts on day one. Evan Washburn, CBS Sports. Pete Quelly, Bill COO in the 9 o'clock hour. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher on WGR. Back here at St. John Fisher. It's the coldest day of Joe's life.
It's so cold. Holy cow.
It's not that cold. It's just breezy and you're in the wrong spot.
It's breezy. The sun is not where we are right now. It's not shining on us. So, yeah, I need to run over and grab a hoodie or something. I have a golf shorts problem. Do you go cheap on golf shorts or do you, like, go for, like, the higher-end ones?
I don't know. Not, I don't know.
It's something that I thought, like, I'll go nuts on the polos and the hats. I'll just go cheap on the golf shorts. I'm currently wearing a Shmoo-moo Lemon.
Sure, sure.
It ruined the rest of my golf shorts.
Okay.
They're so much – you ever do this with something? They're so much more comfortable than the rest that I can't even wear the other ones now. Hmm. It's so different. So now I've got a problem.
You got to buy more?
Because they're very expensive. You can't be spending $100 on golf shorts every week.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. Yep. Got to get the game. I got to get the game to a certain point before I feel I can reward myself with more of the golf fits.
Your actual golf game, you're
saying. Yeah, I need to like set a goal and like, all right, you're not allowed. This is how you get good, probably. But probably many other reasons. You set a goal and you're not allowed to buy another thing golf related until you get to this.
Hmm. Got a stat of the day for you. Speaking of being outside and being cold, as you are right now.
Yep.
The Lions this year. This was a stat on the Saints last year. This is the Lions this year. You know how many outdoor games they play? Outdoors.
I saw a reference to this.
There are 17 games in an NFL season. How many did the Lions play outdoors this year?
It's not, man. It was really low. Isn't it like six?
Three.
Three total?
The Lions play three games outside.
Wow.
Two of them in the division. They have to.
Yeah, Green Bay and
Chicago.
Chicago. Wait, so they play one out-of-division outdoor game?
Yes.
And all their home games, of course, are indoors.
Yep. The Lions play outside three times.
That, man, Jared Goff in fantasy. That's a good kicker fantasy team then. Because
and
of that.
I'm pretty sure their outdoor game, I'm looking at like.
Wow, that's incredible.
Let me find their only outdoor game that's not in the division. It's going to be.
They do play outdoors.
The Niners. They play the Niners in December.
So all right.
You could get away with an entire their Bears game is December 22nd. They'll play one cold game.
Am I looking at this right now? Like, I'm looking through their schedule. They're all at the end.
Yeah, their first outdoor game is week 9, their second is week 16, and the third is week 18.
So they've in the first 15 weeks they've won outdoor game.
14 indoor, 1 outdoor in 15 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for that offense.
That's why Ben Johnson hasn't left that job. Turns out he's cold
just
all the time. He's like, I like this schedule.
He's like, why don't I wait one more year while I'm playing indoors?
Sal, when we get back, I want to ask him about the offense and the celebration, the very, I think, obvious, noticeable celebration of touchdowns. The team yesterday was going out of its way to lift each other up. Ask Sal about that. We'll get his observations as well. He's on the way, recapping day one. Previewing day two, Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.